Hey, everybody. It is your friend Bob here. And it's the show that you know, because it's titled with my name. I don't need to say the name. I'm not going to say Bob Saget's here for you. Damn. Anyway, okay. This is the world is upside down. The world is trying to straighten itself out. The world is in turmoil. We are all feeling all different kinds of pain. And I'm here to try to bring a little solace to it all. And I'm going to call some people that I enjoy doing, which is calling people and see what's up, what they want to talk about, no matter what it is. And I'm going to try to talk to as many people as possible right now. And just maybe I can, I don't know, I'm aiming for 6 to 10. That's the age group, because the kids dig me. But no, people that are a little older and a little more socially relevant, or just trying to get through their moments. I'm hoping you're all doing as well as you can be. I've had, normal problems, plumbing problems personally and in my house. But those are good problems, right? Sewage is, once you clean out the sewage, it's a metaphor for all of life. You just get rid of all the shit, and then you got to clean out. So my house got a colonoscopy. So I think the earth needs one right now to clean it out and make things feel better and somehow get us closer toward evolving into a peaceful understanding and listening group. Okay, that was my soapbox. It's over. And now I'm going to call a guy named Dave. I have no idea where he is. I can't wait to talk to him. I have no idea what's up.
Hello?
Dave, Bob Saget. How are you, sir?
I am well, Mr. Saget.
You don't know how good it feels that when you call and say your name, someone laughs. That's like a compliment, sir. Thank you.
It's quite a surprise.
Well, that's good. That's good. And you called and left a message on that number, and I appreciate it. Where are you? What part of this world?
I am in crazy Chicago right now, Mr. Saget.
Wow. And how's it going? How are you doing? What's up? And what kind of questions you got for me? What do you want to talk about? We could talk about what's going on in the world, in your life.
Yes.
How to bake a good Pop-Tart. Whatever you want.
Well, things are going well for me. I have my health. I have been working this entire time. I work as an EMT. So it's like a paramedic that only does cleanup.
Well, God bless you, sir. So you're in there. You're in people's bodies, basically, right?
Well, I'm in their face, man. I'm totally in their face, Mr.
Well,
Saget,
when you say you're in their face, you're not meaning with your lower parts. You're talking professionally, right?
Oh, of course, always professionally. Wink.
So what's up? What question do you have for me that I can help you with? Or just talk about it. I don't give a crap about nothing except trying to bring some entertainment and light or some relevance to people. I don't know.
Well, I do have, what are the chances that somebody gets to talk to Bob Saget? So I definitely have questions for Bob Saget.
Okay, since I've got two names, hit me with them. What's the questions? I mean, you're in people's faces. Well, I can't argue with you.
So, I've been doing this medical thing, for a while, maybe about 15 years or so. But right before I did this, I always fancied myself a bit of a funny guy naturally.
Right.
But never really honed it. And right before I took my first medically related class, I did stand-up comedy. And I did it for a summer, maybe about 3-4 sets.
So where were you going up? In Chicago you were going up?
Yes, sir.
Did you go to Zany's? Did you go to the Improv? Where'd you go?
No, sir. I went to open mics, different bar. I think the biggest place I went to was Joe's on Leaf Street.
Right. Okay. And my wife's from there, and I know Chicago. I've been playing Chicago forever. So you want to be in people's faces in a different way as well. So you're kind of,
yes,
your hidden dream, would you say, when people are out and performing? I mean, a lot of people are out, not a lot. I mean, the amazing Dave Chappelle is out, and Michael Che, they're doing shows, and a bunch of comedians. Bert Kreischer's going out, and Jim Gaffigan, because we have to make people laugh. And I'm over 60, so I'm I don't want to get something. I don't want someone to jump down my throat when someone laughs. Because usually, hopefully, let's see, when you laugh
That's
like
how you
that,
get it.
When you laugh like that, right. And I mean, I don't want to give anything to anybody. I haven't had the thing. I had a blood test, so I know I haven't had it yet. I'm not wanting it, but part of us always wanted it. You know, I was sick for a month. I thought I had it. And I've been concerned with all of the protesters that they would be spreading it more. But there's not a lot of laughing going on, in protesting, whereas in comedy, if someone laughs, a Luger gets shot right out of their mouth and could theoretically, I have actually had it happen. It's gross, but you're an ENT guy, so you're fine with it.
Oh.
Gone right in my mouth, just like in the movie Outbreak for the older people.
You might as well be an EMT, Bob.
I want to do it. I want to do it. Is it EMT? Ooh. Is it EMT? Is that what it is?
Yes, emergency medical technician.
Oh, I called it an ENT, which is a totally different thing, which is just entrance, I guess.
Ear, nose, and throat.
Yeah, I'm starting my own thing. So you want to do stand-up comedy, and you still want to be an EMT, or what's the deal?
Well, the EMT gig pays the bills. It pays the bills nicely for what it is here at home in Chicago. I stopped doing it. I went like 12 years without doing it, maybe a little more. And then about 2 years ago, I always made funny things up, but a few years ago I started writing, and the goal was to psych myself up enough to go out there and get on the open mics. But maybe the jail thing. Oh, I didn't think I mentioned the jail. I do EMT work in a jail.
Well, God bless you, man. That's amazing, because we all know how faulted the system is, and so you're helping.
Oh,
It's awful. It's awful, and it needs to be corrected in many ways. And I think through this time we are moving the needle. And people are moving the needle. And even though sometimes when you move the needle, it feels like it goes a little too far, and then you reach a compromise. But I've never seen the needle move this much. So what would you do in the jail system when you go in there? What would you like to see? Does your heart hurt, or are you scared? What's the deal?
Oh, man. I don't want to sound like, yeah, man, it hurts. I think the worst thing about that job is just, you see, the underbelly of the world, and I mean that in the sense that you see bad things happen on both sides of this thing, you know? The folks that end up in the jail, you know, I'm not a judge, so to me, they're just my patients. And, a lot of them have not been dealt a good card.
And
I have to bear witness to that.
So from human instinct, you're feeling like some of these people have been treated unjustly, just from their nature, is what you're saying.
I believe so. I think so, definitely. And then you got to see on the other side, there's so many factors to it.
Yes, because of the danger.
If you ask me,
Because of the danger of the people that sometimes overreact in how they try to hold down people that are dangerous and need help. And some people, God, the people that you think can't be helped. We have to think that everybody can be helped. We have to think that.
Oh, wow.
Now, how would you do this in your stand-up? How would you do it in your stand-up? Would you want to talk about that?
How would you want
to talk about that experience in your stand-up? I mean, look, Dave Chappelle gets out, and he's talking about everything. So, I mean,
totally.
Do you think you'd want to do that, or do you think you just want to?
That's one of my questions.
Or do you? Yeah. Oh, so you want to know? Do you do what Bob does?
I'm afraid to talk about that, and I have actually. I do not. And the things that I've written in the little bit that I've done in the last year before COVID came up, I totally do not even mention any of that.
But
I don't know.
But the question is,
addressed it to myself. Why?
I understand. Well, when you talk about it, there's certain people that are good at it, and they're articulate. So you got to figure out: can you talk about something so sensitive? And some people might be really upset by it, but can you find humor? And that, if you're able to find humor, my friend Jeff Ross has done stand up in the prisons, and he did it on Comedy Central, and he has gone in a lot of places that a lot of people would think is very dangerous. He's gone out and been with the police. He's roasted the police. He's roasted the prisoners. So, and they want to laugh. So if you can somehow, And I can't talk much longer because I got to call so many people because people apparently,
yes, sir,
they need me. You know, I'm like Batman.
We do need you.
We need to laugh. God damn it. But I didn't mean to use the Lord's name in vain because you offend everybody at every corner. But because that's where I meet people on the corner. But that's where I get a nickel bag and I bring it home to the baby. But but I mean, can you find it? I would say try to write. Try to think of stuff, record it on your phone, you know, if you got one of those things on it, and just write, just come up with things and go, what if I talked about going in with a prisoner? What if I talked about what I had to do for him? And I thought he was innocent, so I set him free. I mean, you know, it was really hard to do. I had to.
So I gave him the gun.
You could say whatever the hell you want. It's freedom of comedy speech. You could say he was a little guy, so you shoved him down your pants and you just walked out nonchalant. I mean, there are ways to find humor in the most difficult situations, but you also have to be true to what is real and to what's funny. And you can also just do dick jokes if you want. I mean, you can do talk about social relevance, talk about your family, talk about people's health. You can talk about what people do that's just disgusting that you've noticed, you know, and also nothing wrong with a little self-aggrandizing and saying, because you're doing something great, you know, and I just want to say that I appreciate what you do a lot.
Oh, geez, thanks, Bob. I'm more of a self-deprecator, so.
That's perfect. Hard. It's better than self-defecating, because self-defecating, you just shit yourself.
We call that a cold brown.
I've been there. It was late at night. I was younger. But Rodney Dangerfield always said, you make fun of yourself first, man. Then you can make fun of other people. But all I can do is wish you the best. I really appreciate you calling. And go out and do it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling me, Mr. Saget.
Please, Bob Saget me. I'm your friend. So I hope to see you one day out there when I'm in Chicago doing stand-up. Come back and say hi.
I'll totally be out there, sir.
Perfect.
I would love to see you live.
We'll hug each other in hazmat suits. So,
yes.
Take care of yourself, Dave. Thank you, my friend.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's a front lines guy. That is a guy. And that was a really good call. So now I'm going to call somebody that I'm excited about calling because why the hell not say that? I don't know what to expect. I'm calling Chris. Here comes Chris, my new friend Chris. This is me checking on people. That's what I do. That's how I'm made. Chris going to answer. I know that because I can tell from the number.
Hello?
Chris, Bob Saget. How are you?
Bob, I was just listening to your podcast.
Oh, thanks, man. What were you just listening to?
I just finished the one with Jim Jefferies, so I'm on the one after.
Oh, I didn't do Jim Jefferies yet, so maybe...
Oh, I'm sorry. Not Jim Jefferies. Hang on a second. Who was that?
Yeah, all comics sound alike, but when they're from Australia.
Absolutely.
Bill Burr.
You don't mind. Jim Gaffigan is who I met. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Jim Gaffigan. Love Jim Gaffigan. How do we not love Jim Gaffigan?
Absolutely.
He is. Jim Gaffigan is out there and he is doing stand up. He's planning dates. He's going to be doing, I think, drive in theaters. And, because he's the guy who's waving a flag for everybody right now and for justice and for comedy. Just wants to make people laugh. That's really all he wants. And
right.
So, Chris, what's up? What part of the world do you live in?
Well, I'm originally from California, but I'm living in near Atlanta now.
All right. So there's been a lot going on. There's been a lot in the world going on. How's it going from your perspective?
Well, unfortunately, through all this, I've lost my job, of course, like a lot of people have, which is unfortunate.
I'm sorry. What kind of job was it?
I actually did cleaning for one of the local sporting stadiums.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of work. So,
yeah.
So we're talking about a while. Are they talking about 2021 when they bring all that back?
It's still in the wind at the moment with football getting ready to start back up.
Sorry, I just want to add, I know you're in the middle of an important statement, but in the wind is what I just did. That's the advantage of a podcast is no one can tell that that's the beauty of this thing. I could literally fill a catheter bag right now. But yeah, I did not pass wind, by the way. I just wanted to interrupt you with a fart joke, which makes no sense.
Fine.
While you're in the middle of hurting. So money is tight, and Atlanta, you have a pretty cool mayor, right?
Yeah, she's doing all right with it, I believe. I got out for the first time Wednesday. I just had to get away. I've been in the house for like two months. I just need to get it out and away for a day.
I hear you. And I've been in the house with my wife for 4 months, and I get it out like every couple days. Because I gotta. If I don't get it out at my age, it'll build up and I'll get prostate cancer. So you gotta get it out, no matter if you're and when your job comes back, your adrenaline's gonna pump. You're gonna need to get it out more.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in a relationship? Are you with someone, or are you solo in a place?
No, I'm solo at the moment. Since I moved out here, it's kind of a bit of a tragic story. I was supposed to move out here with a friend, but he ended up not coming. So I'm actually staying in a transitional house, trying to get back on my feet.
Well, I hear you, and I feel for you. So you're a strong person. To have the positive attitude that you have right now is really, you know, it's so funny. I jerk around, and then I hear that, and my heart goes out. So is it a comfortable place?
I appreciate it.
Is it comfortable at least? Are you able to feel like you've got a bit of a way station?
Yeah, it is. The only downside from my aspect is that I have to share a room. I don't have my own room.
Right. Well, is that person okay?
Oh yeah, no. The person right now that I'm staying with is a really good person. I mean, like all of the people that are here, we're all just trying to get back on our feet from whatever walk of life we are coming from.
It's amazing what's happened, isn't it? It's just amazing.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like the entire world. People are like going through the 10 plagues and checking them off right now.
Yeah.
You know, what can happen next? I mean, we had a fire near my house recently. It was like, okay, goodbye house. Where's the earthquake? Where's the mudslide?
Yeah, I just heard about the fires that are starting to rage again.
Yeah, it's a rage against the machine, which is not a joke. It's just a stupid reference with no meaning.
Right.
So what's the word on work? Is there anything you can get out and forward?
Well, I'm trying to look for something kind of, you know, on the side. The good thing about my job right now, though, is that they're paying my unemployment, so I don't have to actually file for unemployment myself.
That's great. That's really great. Okay, so there's a plus.
Yeah.
And did you have a question for me? Is there something you wanted to know or discuss, or you just felt like talking?
Oh, no, I absolutely had a question for you.
Oh, hit me.
So from the podcasts that I've heard so far, I haven't heard this brought up yet, but one of my favorite Comedy Central roasts was yours and a couple of my friends as well.
Thanks.
And it's actually like a two-part question, really.
Okay.
The first part would be, what brought you to actually do that? And then the second part would be, would we ever get one possibly with either John Stamos, or as you would say, your other brother, Dave Coulier?
Well, it's funny because Dave was at the event, when we did it 10 years ago, whenever it was more, I don't know. And Dave Dave doesn't like cursing. So that I said, you don't have to curse. Come on, do stand up. And he just didn't want to. And I respect my brother. And Stamos, the reason I did the roast is because I was approached by Comedy Central and Jeff Ross and Joel Gallen, the producer director. And I went, you know, I would do it if I had my friends. And so Stamos being the roast master made it. And then Jeff Ross was there and Jeff Garland and Norm MacDonald. You know, that was monumental what he did at that roast, which was anti-comedy, which was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Just hilarious because he is one of the funniest people alive. And it was just a great, great bunch of people. Jim Norton and Susie Essman and people that I truly love. I mean, even John Lovitz, I have love. And you know, and Gilbert, you know, Gilbert said my last comedy special was in high def because you either have to be high or deaf to listen to it.
Right,
right. So I think it was Gilbert. It might have been Jim. It doesn't matter. They all just trashed me. But the person that is the saddest for me is Greg Giraldo, because he was up first and he was such a good man and such a funny comedian and had these devils.
Absolutely.
And it's just another comedian that we lost too young. And I loved him.
I agree.
I loved him. We just started to become friends. And it just pisses me off, you know, because he was wonderful. And it's a big loss for people because he had it, you know. He was just a real special guy. But
well, he was truly the roast master general.
Well,
I mean,
Jeff Ross is that you can't take the title away or he'll wrestle you to the ground and then.
I was just going to say nothing to take away from Jeff Ross because he does such a wonderful job at it.
Right, but Greg is
in my eyes.
Yeah.
It was Greg.
Yeah, you're correct. He's a missile. I mean, he was I was so scared. In fact, while he was roasting me and saying these things that I agreed with, because, you know, he said I looked like the Vlasic pickle stork with those granny glasses, those beady eyes and that long pointy beak, you know, and I'm like, oh God, he's right. And then I was scared. And then after he was done, the first assistant director came over to me and said, Bob, for the rest of the roast, can you look like you're having fun? And what he didn't know was he yelled it. So the whole audience heard it. And I just went, oh God, this is embarrassing. But he was breathtaking. His roasting was, and his comedy, it had kind of a one of my dear friends who's an anomaly also, Bill Burr, who's just, I mean, he's just a atomic weapon, you know? And that's what Greg would do. He just came out. Every joke was a 5 rating in out of 5.
And of course.
Michelin guide of comedy hatred. And he was not hatred, but attacking. But anyway, it was a fun roast. I really loved it. And they did a nice job and I got to have my friends there.
So absolutely. Would you ever be on a dais of one if they asked you?
Yeah, I've done it many times. I actually, in New York, there's a thing called the Friars Club and there was like 2,000 people. And I was the roast master for Jack Black. And we did that.
Okay.
And then I was on the dais of a few other roasts in that live, not live on TV, you know, just for the fun of it with people. And I roasted Matt Lauer back in the day. And I wish I'd had I wish I had all the 411 then. It would have been a much different roast.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, man, what a world. But I guess the best thing about, I would do it if Stamos was getting roasted. I'd have to be there. You know, I'd want to be the roast master if Stamos was getting roasted. But
of course you would. It would be none other than you in my book.
I think so. Well, I just want to wish you the best. I've got to run because I've got a million other people to call.
I completely understand, sir. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your day and calling me. Just as everybody else has said, you know, as you say, you know, I grew up watching you on that show as well as AFV. and you're just such a talent. As you know, the world loves you over. And thank you so much for doing what you do.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. I don't know what to do when you say that. It kind of throws me off my game. I wish you back on your feet, and you're on your feet now. But I mean, back to this new normal. May the stadiums open up. May the virus go bye-bye, or be in a place where we can have you go back to work there, or wherever your next chapter is, whatever door opens next for you. I just wish you all the best and good health and happiness, man.
Thank you so much, Bob. I appreciate that.
You take care of yourself, Chris. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
You got it. Bye-bye. Oh, man. Oh, man. Life and life. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a little break, and we will be right back after these important things that I believe in. Hey, we're back with Bob Saget here for you, and I'm Bob Saget, and I'm here for you. That's all I can say over and over again. If you could do me the fave of, review, rate, and of course, subscribe to this podcast. And when you rate it, give it a 5. And when you review it, don't say like negative stuff. That's all. I'm just totally teeing up the game and just rigging it. So I'm going to call Risa. I hope she's there because I'm reaching out to people that called. I love talking to people like a lot because I'm lonely. I'm still COVIDing.
This is Risa.
Risa, Bob Saget. How are you?
Oh, my God. Bob Saget, I'm so glad you called me. I was really hoping you would.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you for calling.
Oh, my God. This is going to be, my friends are going to be so excited because they know I'm such a big fan. I think this is the proudest moment of my life.
This is the proudest moment of my day, too. So, Risa, so you are, I'm looking at the thing. I'm not sure about the area code, but what city are you in?
Hold on 1 second. Sorry.
Was that an Amazon delivery or the TV?
I just had a pause a work meeting. That was actually, there was a work Zoom meeting going on, but I have little kids, so I keep putting my video off on it anyway. So this is perfect time for me to just have the video off and it's fine.
How many kids do you have and where are the kids?
I have 2 little kids. I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Oh, that's
and
the cutest.
They're so cute and funny. They're just the funniest little people on earth. And they spend a lot of the day with their dad, who is fortunately able to do a lot of the childcare when I'm pulled into meetings and stuff.
Right. And are you doing a lot of Zoom stuff? Is that how you're doing?
A ton of Zoom stuff. Tons and tons of Zoom.
Right. And so, what city? I cut you off.
Oh, no, that's okay. So I live in a suburb about like 20 minutes outside of New York City.
Got
in New Jersey.
So I was going to say what exit, but everybody's done that. So how's life?
Exit 153-ish on the parkway, I guess.
That is so TMI, but I'm happy you told me. We'll leave that in. It's not specific. So this has been a crazy time. Have you been quarantined? Is that how you've been going about it?
Yeah, I've been quarantined, and I've been like hyper quarantined. Like I'm a germaphobe to begin with.
Right, like so, Howie Mandel type?
Not quite, but very close. Like in my office, I will manage to turn every doorknob that most people touch with like my wrist instead of my hand. Like I agree.
Well, you have a very unusual wrist. I mean, it's like a tentacle.
It's super awkward. And anytime anybody's like walking behind me while it's happening, I'm like, I know it looks weird. I just, or like I'll touch anything that anybody else touches and I'll like immediately go wash my hands.
So, I don't understand why. I mean, I was always like that. Now I've had Howie on the podcast and he talked about it. It's more than just a germophobic thing. It's a deep mental health thing that he's talked about. And very
exactly,
openly,
yeah.
And he's just a beautiful, wonderful person. But I agree. I have not wanted to touch a doorknob of a men's room. Ladies' rooms, I don't mind. No, I'm just kidding. But men's rooms,
I
would use paper
towels.
You got to use towels. Use them on the way
That's
in, on the way out. Use your foot, kick the door. Don't touch anything, you know, because that's how, you probably don't get anything, but. You know, now they're saying you don't because every day a new report comes out about everything. So
I know. Yeah. This started, this was like really playing into a lot of that.
So how's your life otherwise? Are you dealing? I had 2 daughters in New York and I'm concerned.
Yeah.
One's in Brooklyn, one's downtown. And it's
like quarantining? Okay.
They are. They go out. They do stuff. They've been around, some of the protesting and been part of it and not part of it but supportive, but you know, and friends are in it. And it's just a weird time that we hope comes to a positive closure. That's what we're all
it's super weird
praying for, which I'm not a prayer, but I started praying.
I'm not either.
A lot. I started praying more. I mean, I don't know if it's prayer, but it's positive thoughts. So
I know, positive thoughts, exactly. So, I know, where I live, I don't live anywhere near like city protests. And as a mom of young people, I don't feel comfortable going to them. I don't find them safe. I find them amazing and beautiful and I'm glad they're happening. But in the state of my life with my young children and where I live and taking care of them.
You got to be safe.
That's not something I could physically do. So,
no, you can't have spittle or a booger shoots out of someone's nose, and next thing you know, you're in an emergency room. But
Exactly. What, did you? So I'm real. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm excited.
No, I'm just. I'm grateful for all of the people that are out on the front lines doing the Black Lives Matter work. Like, I don't. What my question was to you was not Black Lives Matter centric, but I just want it to be blanket statement said that obviously that is something that is on the forefront of our minds, and I'm not
right.
trying to lessen that at all.
And I don't think it's, you know, it's going to be part of our history. This time, and we've never had anything. We've had this happen many, many times, but I haven't seen the needle move as much. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, and we hope that. I don't know if racism will ever go away because humanity is not made that way. I know
humanity is so sad.
I've
been liking to think that it's getting better. Like, it's not going to be cured, at least not for a while. But at least we're pointing out who the assholes are. And
it's not,
we're
hard,
raising
to,
it's
not
people
hard to spot
as
one because
well
they're
can.
Right below the belt. They're on the other side. Sorry.
And they're not that ashamed of being vocal about it either.
No, they're not. So what was the question? So, you know, I'm glad that you brought that up. And was there a question in general you wanted to ask me?
My question that I called about, and thank you seriously so much for calling. My question that I called about is because I've been quarantining very strictly. Like, my husband would joke with me, like, my God, like, my other friends or my other coworkers are not quarantining as strictly as we are. But I just feel like, why not? Like, what's the big deal? Like, we'll eventually be able to go out and do all these things. But for now, let's be safe.
And a lot of people are going out and doing them. I mean, they're starting to, you know, things are opening up and people are trying to move forward. And it's so what's the question so I can give you this brilliant answer, because I'm knowledgeable in almost nothing.
Thank you. So since I've been quarantining pretty diligently and I'm not going into work, at least for the time being, so I'm visualizing this world where even though we've opened up into different phases and people are going out and doing things, but for the most part, most people aren't at work. Most people aren't in full on real life.
Right.
Even though not to detract from the people that are already doing that or have already been doing it in the front lines to begin with. But when, like, most people who have been deep in quarantine for 3 months go back to work on day one, what does that feel like for people? Is it like everybody just crying all day? How do people get through that day? Is it beautiful? Is it sad? Are we like just a wreck? Like, I'm curious about how people are going to react with, like, being around people again and doing things they just are so accustomed to not doing or also have been missing for a long time.
Well, I know some people that are going back, and they're social distancing, and they're in it. They're in a bullpen atmosphere too, a couple people. And people I've talked to is it was emotional. They couldn't believe it. It's definitely not. It's a new normal, as the most annoying cliche of 2020. Not the most annoying, actually. There's many, many annoying cliches of 2020. But I think it's, you know, we're all snowflakes. So some people do react very emotionally. And like I did when I first saw the set of Fuller House. It's like, it was empty. There was no furniture.
I cried my eyes out on the first episode of Fuller House. It was crazy that 20 years later, that was back in our lives and our TV series. I totally cried.
I did too when I saw what I looked like on the first episode. But but the last episode, I was damn happy, very very happy. But
oh my God, I haven't finished binging yet. Oh my God,
the last one's great because it's all happy and they play the synthesizer music and we have morality plays, all that stuff. But I think some people are, you know, most people are not back, but a lot of people that are going back, like there's a couple restaurants that are back. I think they're thankful. I think they're thankful, and it feels good to be around other people again, because a lot of the stuff that's happened in this world is because we've all been isolated. And that's why when people got out and started protesting, they were like, part of that energy was pent up for months, and that's just human nature, you know? But when you go into the workplace, I think it's a beautiful thing to get back, and then you just hope everyone stays healthy and practices the proper stuff that keeps them healthy. And you will go back. You will go back. This is not life. This is life at the present. I mean, you got to be in the moment. But you're lucky. You've got a great husband and two adorable kids, And you get to be busy too. You get to hop on the Zoom and do what you need to do, you know? Are you muting are you muting the Zoom right now to talk to me?
I am pushing my window closed because somebody is mowing or weed whacking across the street.
That's hilarious.
I just literally shut the window.
Weed whacker is one of my sponsors, and I won't tell you what they do, but it does work. So I just maybe for your husband for Christmas. So
yeah, that's good.
Well,
that's
Risa, I can't thank you enough for calling. I got more people to call. I wish I could talk to you longer. And
I can't thank you enough for calling. I'm a huge fan.
Thanks.
Made my life.
Thank
you for doing this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Call me back again.
Okay.
I would love to chat more.
I'll call every day. Set up Zooms, and I want to talk to your kids once they start talking. So.
Oh my God. That would really make my life if you called me back and talked to my 4-year-old.
And when I'm doing stand up next year, and if I'm near, and I will be doing gigs out in Jersey and out in the city, and if I'm
awesome.
You see me and you go with your husband, you got a sitter. Don't leave the kids without a sitter, but come backstage and say hey. It
would
be very nice
to
say hi, and we'll take a socially safe selfie. So.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much. Thanks for being in my life all these years and just being so funny and for everything. And best of luck and enjoy the rest of your calls today.
Thanks, Risa. Sending all my best to you and your family. Thanks.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You
too. I hope your family's good.
Thank you.
We're
okay. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That's a nice person. I'm calling a guy named Mike. I just always found guys named Mike. You never know what they're going to say. You just don't know. I'm just telling you. It's going to be Mike.
Hello, this is Mike.
Hello, Mike. This is Bob Saget. How are you?
I'm just great, Bob. If I was any better, I'd have to take something for it. How you doing?
Well, I'm sure you got stuff there. I'm sure you're going to have to take something. I mean.
I can always find something to hang around somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, it's 2020. There's got to be stuff in the house. Everybody's got something to get through this.
Pizza's my go-to. So, that's kind of my thing.
Isn't that weird? I was off of carbs. I was not doing anything. I was being, and then quarantine. And I was just figuring out new ways to, as my mother would say, I'm going to doctor it, Bobby. And I'd be like, holy shit, this is going to taste terrible. But I have found ways. You know, you chop up olives, onions, put peppers on the damn thing. I don't care. Any meat. You can find stuff in the yard, roadkill. It doesn't matter. Put it on a pizza. Frozen pizza.
There's a squirrel right in front of in my development that I went to Chick-fil-A once and I threw a french fry at it. Next thing I know, the squirrel's eating the waffle fry, the Chick-fil-A waffle fry. I'm like, well, there you go. I guess he has a very diverse appetite.
Well, I'm very happy you said that because for a minute I thought you were going to say you cooked the squirrel and put it on your pizza. So that was like, that would have been nuts. No pun.
No, I see what you did there. Nuts, squirrel. Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's what a dad joke does. That's the shit I got for doing on the video show. And now people want it again. I don't understand it. You get trashed for years and then they ask you back, like Godfather 3.
Yeah, I mean, you got to stick with the dad jokes, the puns, all that kind of
well,
stuff.
Well, we need
it's always a good to fall back on.
You got to also it's to make people laugh. It's really that's kind of the root of it. It used to be a survival mechanism, you know, and now it's just I just want to be funny and somebody will go, "Oh, that's a dad joke." And I'm like, "Well, you didn't write one." I mean, at least I'm working here, you know. Groucho was all puns, your best comedians that exist. There's wordplay. There's a lot of message in your best comedians, but there's also, you know, puns, wordplay, alliteration, whatever. Anyway, so what's up? What city are you in?
So I live in suburban Baltimore, but I'm actually out of town for just a little bit. So I'm calling, or you're talking to me from beautiful Huntington, PA, right smack in the middle of my home state of PA.
Wow, I know where that is. I'm from Philly originally, so I've driven the state a bunch of times. And are you safe? Or are you feeling you just wanted to get away, right?
Yeah, just a little getaway, get out of, you know, I've been quarantining for the past 3 months, and thank God I'm going back to work on Monday, so that's a relief.
That's cool. What's the job?
So I am I'm a locomotive engineer for a passenger railroad.
Okay, hold it. Stop the music. Oh, there wasn't any. I think I have music somewhere. Oh, no, that's laughter. That's what I hear every time I say something. So, wow. So explain locomotive engineer.
So basically, in layman's terms, the guy who's up there in the engine driving the train. So it's something I've been wanting to do since I was a little kid. And between this and my old job, I've been railroading for a little over 9 years now.
Well, be careful how you say railroading, because sometimes that's the, you know, you're selling stuff on the street value.
Yeah, it could be taken many different ways.
You don't want to get it in the caboose. So the question is the last car, is that called the caboose still?
So there aren't any technically on it, like on freight trains, you would see them, but they have been, they've been eliminated for the better part of 30 years. On a passenger train, it's just another coach. So that's really how it works in layman's terms.
So did you play with trains as a kid?
Absolutely. I mean, if I don't know if you're familiar with Thomas the Tank Engine and all, but I was one of those kids that grew up with Thomas the Tank Engine, and I just didn't let the dream die. I kept going. And
did you have the whole set out of metal and the whole thing and the terrain? Did you do all that?
My parents bought me the wooden train set, and it eventually went to a little bigger scale, a little more detailed models and everything, but that's all fun and everything, but you know, the fact that I get to go and play with the real things, you know, and I get paid for it, that's not a bad gig.
This is amazing to me. This is like making model planes as a kid, sniffing all that glue, and then one day being a pilot.
Yeah.
So you didn't do glue, so you're fine.
No, not the, I mean, some of the kids I knew, they went that route, but I'm like, nah, I'm too good a kid. I don't want to do that.
I have to ask you, isn't being a train conductor, isn't that an essential worker? Shouldn't you have had your job through this time?
So, so we're at my line of work, transportation, so conductors, and I'm in a...
Oh, God.
I started out as a conductor many years ago, but I've been an engineer for the better part of 2.5 or 3 years. So
I understand. I misunderstood. I was thinking more freight, but you're saying passenger conductor.
Yeah, the passenger conductors, they're in the suit and they wear the hat, they take the tickets, but I don't do that. I'm up on the engine, I'm an engineer, and I get to run the train. So
that
they
is
get
so
the conductors deal with the people back there.
Cool. What's the weirdest thing that's ever happened? What's the thing where you see in the movies where you're coming toward the thing and the track's not there and you got to move at all of a sudden, shift everything? Have you had one of those situations?
Oh, I've hit so many deer. I've hit raccoons. I've hit possums. I've hit so many different types of trees.
Do you do it purposely? Do you try to go off to get them?
Well, they're just kind of there sometimes. And if you're going barreling up the road at a decent speed and you see like a little tree limb, you have no choice but just to bash right through it.
And have you had the thing where you have the little Y go off to the right or the left where you've had to do that? Can you, from where you're at in the very front and as an engineer, are you able to make the track move like you see in the movies? Is that something you can do?
I cannot physically do that, but there are like the strategic places along the railroad that, that is controlled by a train dispatcher. So they can go on a computer and program it when they can actually throw switches that are in the field that they can trains can switch from one track to another that I physically can't do. So
well, this is very cool that you're going back to work. And so are you gonna, is it a socially distanced train? Is that gonna be happening with the passengers?
Yeah, I think from what I understand, they're slowly bringing service back, and I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 50% capacity, even though they're gonna have normal size trains, but the they're going to only run them in at 50% capacity just to keep everybody safe.
Right. What if it's just little people? Did that follow the same rules?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I've seen,
I just realized how incredibly profile-y that sounded. So I apologize. I would edit that out, but it might make someone laugh. Hopefully a little person. I got friends, but that doesn't get me out of what I just said. You can't say nothing
anymore.
Well, I'll
tell you what, Bob. There's one thing I know. I've heard all sorts of different stuff. Working on the railroad for as long as I have, I've heard a lot worse things. So don't worry. I wouldn't stress on it too much.
Thank you, Mike. Do you work on the railroad all the live long day just to pass the time away? Do you ever sing it?
I mean,
do
you can't
ever
you sing hear that? The whistle blowing?
Yeah, right. Rise up early in the morn. I can see the, what is it? What's shining? The captain shouting, Dinah, blow your horn. Dinah, won't you blow? Yeah. Dinah, won't you blow? That, to me, they should have cut those lyrics. That is hashtag me too. Dinah, won't you blow?
Yeah, somebody could have changed it somewhere along the line, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, at least it wasn't like Dinah, won't you suck. I mean, that'd be even worse. So, I mean, things have we got to make a change.
You got to make sure, you know, somebody somewhere in the little corners of somewhere, they don't pop out and like, that's offensive.
You're right. Well, that's going to be the way for a while. And you have to figure out how to do it, because I sometimes say things that are that way to prove a point. And I believe in freedom of speech, but I also don't want to hurt anybody. So it's a fine line to figure out how to do it. And there's people doing it pretty amazingly right now, you know, and we know who
they are.
Very
delicate balance.
Yeah. So did you have a question for me, Mike?
Yeah. So one of the things that has been pondering my mind is, as you've been doing the podcast, have you reached out to, I know you had John Stamos on for one episode. Like, have you, is Dave Coulier and then the rest of them going to be on at any point in time?
100%. I've been talking to people. Like, I love to reach out to people. And then I've been talking to a lot of my friends that just seemed like I let it happen organically. Cause when you start a podcast, and I'm a newbie at it, you look at someone like Joe Rogan, who's a juggernaut, you know, it's a entire empire. And look at Bill Burr and what he started with his Monday Morning Podcast. And these people that have been doing it for 9 years, 10 years. And before it even began, and then became these giant machines. Here I am just, you know, months in and, loving it because it's something, it's an extension of what I do. So it's in development and I'm wanting it to get better and more entertaining for people. Cause sometimes I get so empathetic when I hear what problems people are going through. I lose my humor and that don't work. So,
right.
But yeah, I'm going to have Stamos on, has been on, and he'll probably be on again. Cause he's, you know, nothing I can do about it. And, he likes to talk about how thin and handsome he is. But I want to have Dave and I want to have Candace and Jody and Andrea. And yeah, I'll be going through they're my friends, you know? So
yeah,
we'll be definitely doing it. And hopefully we'll get past this socially distance and I'll be able to get back in the studio. But I've been doing it with Zoom as we do it. So then they can look at it on the YouTube and stuff. So they get to see. When I did Stamos, we didn't even have the Zoom going because at the time I was talking to John, we weren't even into Zoom that much. You know, late night TV was running reruns at that time, you know,
right.
Centuries ago, 3 months, 4 months ago. It's crazy, man. Well, I'm glad you're going back to work. Is everybody in your life okay? The health-wise good?
Yeah, my parents are doing all right. My mom's actually, she's getting evaluated to have thyroid surgery. And in order to do that, she's got to get some, visits and stuff like that. And I from what I was told that she's, I think she said something about she has to go, if she does get the surgery, she's actually got to go to Tampa, Florida, because there's a specialist down there that do the surgery.
Oh, so there's a lot of involved. There's a lot involved.
Yeah.
Well, I wish her well.
You know, also, and also my brother actually, back in, I think right about the start of the quarantine, my brother actually had, he got rushed to the ER because he had COVID-like symptoms, but thank God the test came back negative, so he's doing much better too.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I had COVID light, which was less fattening, which I like. It's a NutraSweet product. There's no way to dig out of that, right? It's the most...
I can't believe it's not COVID.
Look at you. Oh, my God. Let's work together.
That would be great.
Let's go out on the road.
You can ride the train for free, you know?
Please. I want to just hop on. I want to be a hobo. I want to go to the Jack Kerouac days. Take me back. Take me back to the Great Depression. Oh, wait. We're back.
This is part two of it.
We'll come out. Everything's going to be okay, just like you coming out of the tunnel on Monday when you get to go back and do your thing. I'm really happy for
That's
you.
That's right. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you calling. Thanks, Mike. I'm wishing you lots of health for your mom and all that. My thoughts are with her. And people say that, but just now, I kind of, by saying that, I was sending positive thoughts to your mom's thyroid. I used to think the thyroid was near the thigh, but one of the, and it's a roid, and we know what that is, but I'm making light of something that your mom is afflicted with, but why don't you tell people that don't know what the thyroid is? It's a gland, correct?
Yeah, it's close to the throat area. I'm not super familiar with it, but I know that she's had problems with this for most of her life, so it's been an ongoing issue for her for quite a while.
Well, I'm sending you lots of positive thoughts, and that she gets it solved in Tampa, and that your family's well, and that she's okay. And
I appreciate it, Bob, and I right back at you. I hope you're doing well. Hope your family's doing well, and we'll get through all this. Everybody will get off through this, and it sucks right now, but we're almost there, and the lights. Can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
That's your phrase.
It's not my train.
That's your phrase. And you get to be the man and that's steering us there. So metaphorically, we're all helping each other get through this and helping the world rise to a better place too. And hopefully that's where we're going. We have to believe that. We have to think positive or all's lost, and we don't want that shit. So
absolutely.
You take care of yourself. Thanks so much for calling.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate talking to you. Thanks. And I just want to thank you again for doing this whole podcast. It's been just hearing all the stories that you've been helping a lot of people and making everybody's day. It made my day right now. So I'll just keep on doing what you're doing. I really thank you a lot for doing this podcast.
Thank you, Mike. It's my pleasure. I love it. You take care of yourself.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye, man.
Bye.
See, in the old days, I would go, what an asshole. And that would be the joke. But I can't say that because this is a good guy. Well, I want to thank you guys. This has been Bob Saget's Here For You. Do what you do, you know. You subscribe, you rate, review. All positive thoughts to all of you. I'm just going to, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something. Got to do something. Got to get started something. No, don't quote Michael Jackson. I don't know if that's the way. Anyway, sending lots of good thoughts to all of you. And let's make humanity a better place. That's right, Bob. With your podcast, you're going to change everything with your downloads. I don't know. Why do they call that a download? Isn't that what a prostitute? Bob, don't do it. That's not how you end a podcast. Anyway, if you're a prostitute and you're listening to this, I hope business gets back to normal. Practice safe stooping. That's a word, you know, from the 20s. Well, no, it's not. I would think it's from the old country for some people. My people who've been persecuted forever. So let's try to stop that. That would make my life a little easier. But my heart goes out to everybody who's being persecuted, to be honest. Don't do it. Don't go sad. Don't go blue. Make people feel good even though you're a Jew. See, I'm a rapper. All right. Take it easy, everybody. Lots of love. Bob out.